Get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2019 Nielsen report. Limitations apply.
Gym class coming your way for Tuesday here on KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5, the new Gym OT, 102.3 in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM in Iowa City. Good show coming up for you. Mike DeCourcy from the Big Ten Network will join us to talk basketball, a little bracketology as well. Also on the program, Wyatt Schultz stops by to talk some high school wrestling, and we'll talk about the big Big Ten news of the day that just came down the line as D'Antonio is out as Michigan State football coach. All that and more coming up on the Gym Class on KGYM. It is a Gym Class here on KGYM, 1600 AM. As we mentioned, 102.3 in Cedar Rapids, along with the brand new Gym OT, 107.5 FM, where you just heard Matt Perrault and his program from 12 to 3, as well as on 106.3 FM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Zach Schmitz, Buttons is our producer once again here today as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Mike DeCourcy will join us, college hoops writer for Sporting News and the studio and analyst for the Big Ten Network coming up. And we will talk about his latest bracketology, take a look back at Iowa, Illinois, and talk Big Ten basketball with you. We'll also talk some wrestling with you coming up here in just a little bit. You can reach us via the First Federal Credit Union text line at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. And check them out online at firstfedcu.com. For more information, you can go to our website as well at kgymradio.com. Hello, Mark. Good afternoon.
Scott and everybody.
As I get you in position, you're swinging that mic over. You're multitasking.
I am indeed.
Yeah, you got
fun.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it. Basketball coming up tonight for you. High school basketball here on KGYM, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM tonight. Big girls top 10 matchup. It will be Cedar Rapids Xavier at Cedar Rapids Prairie. And then on 107.5 and 106.3 FM, it'll be boys basketball. Cedar Rapids Kennedy at Iowa City Liberty. Those games come up at around 7:20 this evening. But Mark, we've got breaking news out of the Big Ten football-wise. Mark D'Antonio is out, retired as the football coach in the Michigan State Spartans. I can't say that I'm surprised. I'm surprised by the timing right now, just a couple weeks ahead of spring drills and spring football. And we'll see what the next move is for Michigan State. But the backstory, there are several backstories. The latest backstory would be the fact that one of his former assistants kind of blew the whistle as far as D'Antonio is concerned with improprieties as far as the NCAA is concerned. Many of them, as a matter of fact, including employing parents of football players.
Yeah, this is an interesting situation. I think we're going to hear more about it. And the timing is strange, but when you consider your last point, maybe not so much. Of course, we know the problems that Michigan State had with the trainer and whatnot and the gymnasts and what have you. Guilt by association, if nothing else. When it came to D'Antonio, as a football coach, he was excellent. I mean, he won nearly 70% of his games at Michigan State. Only one time did he not take a team to a bowl game.
I don't know what it means in this day and age.
No, it's diluted, that's for sure. But won Big Ten Coach of the Year a couple times and had 3 Big Ten championships. So that's a pretty good body of work.
Including one over the Iowa Hawkeyes a few years back when Iowa went undefeated in the regular season. Many things running around Mark and D'Antonio. And this was the one that finally was maybe you get snow piled on a roof over a winter in Alaska or Canada or what have you. And the weight just keeps getting heavier and heavier and heavier.
It's not melting real soon.
And it's not melting. And this might have been the situation as far as Michigan State football is concerned. And Mark D'Antonio, with the retirement coming up about a half an hour ago. If you want to comment, 319-366-1600. Again, that's the First Federal Credit Union text line, 319-366-1600. And now what happens with Sparty football? What does Michigan State do as far as a head football coach? It is very late in the process. We were kicking this around the sports office a little bit ago. Very late in the process for getting a new coach in for the 2020 season because, as we mentioned, you've got spring football just around the corner. There will be an interim coach as far as Michigan State football is concerned. And I know it's a Trestle. I got to find the name of that. And we will find the name of that. He's the linebackers coach for Michigan State. But in the long run, say Michigan State, I think they may go with an interim this year because it is so late as far as the process is concerned. But they will have a permanent coach at some time, whether it be in 2020 or 2021. Who are some of those coaches whose name will come up in association with Michigan State football? Pat Narduzzi, I think, was the first one I thought of, who's at Pitt now with Michigan State ties. When all of the speculation came out as far as Michigan State football is concerned, a lot of people threw Phil Parker's name out there with his Michigan State, played at Michigan State, of course, as well as coached there. Got ties to East Lansing. Would Michigan State fans, would they be satisfied with a defensive coordinator from a fellow Big Ten school coming aboard? Then, and I don't know if it's a fit. I don't know if it's even probable to happen, but Matt Campbell's name is going to come up. Because Matt Campbell is from the neighboring state of Ohio. Michigan State does a lot of recruiting in Ohio. And that is the region where you would think a football opening would attract at least the mention of a Matt Campbell. So those are the three guys that I threw out there immediately.
How good of a job is Michigan State? I mean, year in and year out, you have to oppose, at least for right now, unless the divisions change, Ohio State and Penn State and Michigan year after year after year. While Michigan State has overcome those teams from time to time, that's a tough go of it.
Mike Trestle, by the way, the interim coach, the linebackers coach for Michigan State.
At this point, is Michigan State a better job than Iowa State?
That's a good question. That's a good question. 319-366-1600, if you would like to weigh in. Yeah, we shall see. We shall see. I don't know. I don't know if it's a better one or not. If it is, it's not by a whole lot. And Iowa State has got an arrow, even with a little bit of a disappointing season that the Cyclones had last fall, Iowa State is still a program with that arrow going up next to it.
Yeah, Michigan State certainly has the winning tradition on its side. Big edge, I think, over Iowa State. But the current climate and the situation, the facilities and whatnot, I just don't think that's a job that Campbell would entertain.
I don't think it would be either, but I think his name is going to be bantered about. 319-366-1600. Names out there for possible Michigan State coach. Iowa State fans, do you think Matt Campbell's name is going to come up? Again, a few more minutes here before Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News and the Big Ten Network joins us, and we'll get his latest bracketology and get his thoughts about Iowa and Big Ten basketball. We will do that coming up here in about 5 minutes or so. And Michigan State coming off of not a great football season as well. Okay. But as far as Michigan State standards are concerned, it wasn't a great football season.
No, it wasn't a great team by any means. I think it was 7-6, went to a bowl game.
Everybody does.
Everybody does. That's correct. And, you know, D'Antonio, while he's a solid football coach, not a very colorful guy.
Kind of a sour guy.
Yeah. Actually, back-to-back 7-6 seasons after a 10-3 campaign, and then 2016 was the only year that Michigan State didn't go to a bowl game and finished 3-9. So the body of work that D'Antonio put together really was done between 2010 and 2015 when he was ultra successful.
He's been 17-21 over the last 3 years. 67-39 on the First Federal Credit Union text line. Urban Meyer? No.
He doesn't have Michigan in his vocabulary. He doesn't.
He doesn't. Even if it's Michigan State and even if he could beat up on Big Brother every year, I just don't see Urban Meyer jumping out of retirement to take over the Spartans. Never say never, though, right? Never say never. When's Bob Stoops' name going to come rolling out here? It's got to sometime.
87-21 on the text line. Who would want to inherit those problems? I'm not so sure it's not going on in the basketball program either.
Yeah, well, there were brief look-ins as far as Tom Izzo's program is concerned. Nothing came about it as of yet. As far as internally and a little bit with the NCAA. So maybe Tom Izzo can do both. Michigan State would love that. They would love that out there. 314, as we talk about Mark D'Antonio stepping down as Michigan State coach, we're going to talk some basketball with you coming up here with Mike DeCourcy in just a couple of minutes out there. 319-366-1600 if you have a recommendation as far as who may be linked to a Michigan State football opening out there.
Narduzzi's a good candidate.
First guy I thought of. I think he's got to be the logical choice. Got to be the logical choice. Michigan State ties. Big time Michigan State guy still.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe he doesn't. Maybe he got out. Because he saw this happening and did not want to inherit those problems or have those problems out there. We'll have to wait and see as far as that is concerned.
87-21 mentions former Iowa player Bobby Diaco.
Yeah, that didn't go well at Connecticut for Bobby Diaco. 47-02. I wanted him to suffer the beating Iowa was going to put on Sparty this fall. Iowa and Michigan State have had some strange games over the years. Very strange games. And that includes the Big Ten Championship game several years ago in Indianapolis with the long drive at the end of the game. But you had, of course, the accusations of Michigan State players possibly faking some injuries on the field to help out the defense at times that they needed it. So, yeah. Iffy. It's a little iffy, Mark. I'm just going to say that. More of your texts. Welcome. We are going to take a break. We need to talk to Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News and the Big Ten Network, and we will talk with him coming up next. Stay with us. It is a gym class coming your way right here on KGYM.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Don't miss the annual Blues and Buffett Chili Challenge February 9th at the Cedar Rapids Marriott. Come for unlimited chili tasting and vote for your favorites. Meet local celebrity judges and get in on the silent auction too. You'll be helping the Henry Davison Scholarship Fund and Eastern Iowa Arts Academy.
Details at kgymradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Fairfax State Savings Bank has been serving your community for 95 years. We're the bank here or wherever you need us to be. Harvesting that first ear of corn with 500 acres to go. Deciding on the perfect vacation spot. From your business to our office to the comfort of your home after a busy day. Explore your options at Fairfax State Savings Bank. Get started with your personal or business lending today at thebankhere.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
TCB Pool Hall, it's the real deal. Regulation full-size tables, check. 10 of them. Cold beer, check. 26 rotating taps and another 30-plus brews and bottles and cans. $2 domestic bottles, check. Every day of the week. Nobody fake, nothing filtered. That's the kind of place you want to hang out, right? Check. TCB Pool Hall. Hang out, play pool, drink cold beer. The $2 domestic bottles every day kind. At TCB Pool Hall in the heart of the Ped Mall, downtown Iowa City.
Online sports betting is here with EliteSportsbook.com. If you are an active Riverside Casino and Golf Resort Club member, go to EliteSportsbook.com now and follow the prompts to start betting. Not a resort club member? Visit Riverside Casino to join today. Bet with Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort or online now. More ways to get in the game with EliteSportsbook.com and Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Must be 21. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Back with you in the gym class here at KGYM on this Tuesday afternoon. Scott Udash and Mark Dukes with you. And we're going to talk some wrestling coming up in a little bit. By the way, the Big Ten Network announcing earlier on today that Iowa-Penn State was, imagine this, the most watched duel that BTN has ever had. So not a big surprise right there, number one versus number two. We will talk wrestling tomorrow, more wrestling with Mark Ironside. We'll talk about Iowa-Penn State and look ahead at what's coming up this weekend, and we'll talk some college wrestling at that time. Going to talk some college basketball right now. Mike DeCourcy, kind enough to join us from both the Sporting News and the Big Ten. At TSN Mike is his Twitter handle if you want to give him a follow and follow along with what he has to offer here. Mike, thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
You're shorting me one job, and I thought it was the reason you called. It was my work on Fox Now projecting the NCAA tournament bracket.
Mm. Oh, we were going to get to that.
I got a little heat. Got a little heat from Iowa fans because I had the Hawkeyes still behind Illinois even after they beat them. So I thought that's what you were calling to yell me about.
No. We got enough problems nationally here over the last 24 hours, so we don't need to really. We'll just say that.
Anyway. Where do you have Iowa pegged at this point, Mike?
I have them as a 5 seed.
Okay.
And I had the Illini on the 4 line. I was quite surprised when the Iowa fans started to yell at me. I decided to check up on where some of the others have, and I don't know when they all picked their brackets and all that, but they a lot of them had Illinois as a 6, and Iowa, they agreed with me as Iowa's a 5, but had Illinois as a 6. I don't know what they're watching. If that's where they've come down, I don't know what they're looking at. I know Illinois had a couple of bad losses, and but they have 3 really stout road wins, and there are not a lot of road wins out there in the Big Ten or anywhere else.
Well, it's about body of work, your total body of work, not just one game. Yes, Iowa beat Illinois, but you got to take a look at all 22 games.
Yes, and eventually, if the Hawkeyes, Hawkeyes now have the opportunity to get a sweep. Illini can't do that. The best they can do is get a split. If the Hawkeyes get that, that will score big points because that would be a massive road win for the Hawks.
Mike, how would you describe this Iowa basketball team?
You know what I like best about them at this point is that they know who they are, and there are very good teams out there that still are figuring that out. There are in the context of the season great teams that are still working on that. Duke's had a ton of success. And they still kind of are going from night to night trying to establish their identity. And Louisville is making some progress, recent progress in that regard, but still working on it because they didn't know who their point guard was going to be in the end. They wanted it to be the freshman David Johnson, but he was hurt early and they fell behind. Iowa knows who they want to be, who they need to be successful. They want, you know, they have the obvious direction with Luka Garza. They have a pretty good handle now on their point guard rotation. They'd obviously like it to be better. They'd like Toussaint to play more consistently than he does, but he's established a pretty solid baseline as opposed to early in the year when he first started to play. Where remember when Jordan first left the team for left? Yeah, I shouldn't say. Maybe that's not the proper verbiage. Decided to redshirt for this season and missed his first game. They started Joe and he didn't play well at all. I think he went 3 minutes. I think it was the Cincinnati game. He lasted like 3 minutes and then they had to go in another direction to win the game. But they don't have to worry about that anymore. I think Toussaint has a really good baseline for his performance. It's either going to be really good or not quite good enough. But the 3 minute games I think are in his past. And so, and everywhere else, at full health, they're really well established. They're starting to get Cordell Pemsel involved, and he did some nice things in recent games. But they know that Luke is going to be great. They know that Joe Frederick is going to make shots. They know that Joe Wieskamp is as versatile a wing as there is in college basketball. And they think they know they need to get a little better on defense. But again, they have a baseline that is above what their past efforts have been, what their past recent efforts. And so I think they're 80th in the country in defensive efficiency. Obviously, that leaves 79 places worth of room for improvement, but they're much better in that category than they had been, and they don't lose many games now because their defense isn't good enough. Maybe a stop here or there they'd like to get, they don't get, but their offense is so good that it compensates for the fact that their defense is still has some room to improve.
Where is Luka Garza for the National Player of the Year talk, and should he be higher?
Well, I participate in a vote along with I think there's a 14 or 15 others that Jeff Goodman of Stadium asks me to do, and it just you know dash off your top 10 and send it to him. So I engage in that, and he put it out today. And I have to be honest with you, I was surprised that Obi Toppin was first and that Luka was second. I don't understand why that would be the case. I'm not evaluating NBA draft prospects, so I don't care if one thinks that Obi's a better pro prospect than Luka. I don't care at all. It doesn't matter to this discussion. So what are they as collegians? And if it's between those two, and you know, for a while I was really favoring Miles Powell at Seton Hall, and he had a real clunker of a game on Saturday against Xavier at home. Not wild about throwing up one of those. So I think he's got a little work to do to get back, but I mean, if it's between Luka and Obi, I mean, Luka's averaging more points, more rebounds, more blocks, shooting better numbers, and he's in a tougher league. So how is he not ahead? I'm not going to call every guy on that list and quiz him because we still have a month and it could change and all that. But I was really puzzled by that. Now let me say that I think that based on what the vote totals were, I think Obi only had like first place votes. And so they were pretty evenly split, it would seem. I would imagine that Powell got some. I would imagine Luka got some. But someone out there then isn't aware at all of Luka and how good he is. I have to assume, because you could rank him behind. I think you could rank him behind Powell for certain reasons. But I don't think that you can rank him behind Toppin and justify it.
This is going to be a big topic of discussion in a couple months, Mike. and that is whether Garza is NBA ready. What do you think?
Well, you know, I like to let him play it out. He's not going to get any taller by next year. I don't know what more there would be out there for him relative to adding to his game. So I think it's going to come down largely to, you know, what he and they accomplished this year as a team and him individually. And there's still a month and change and maybe 2 months to establish that. And then what he feels like. And, you know, the young man, Etienne, I think that's how he says it, at Clemson.
Yeah.
Had established everything that he could as a professional football prospect, as a running back, and, you know, played in the national championship game. And he still decided he wanted to play another year at a position where you take a lot of physical pounding, and it's, you know, there's a lot of belief that if you're going to take that pounding, you might as well get paid for it, because you're going to, you know, there's only so much pounding you can take before you can't take it anymore. And yet he decided to play another year, and there was a lot of criticism of him for that. And once a player reaches a development stage that there isn't a ton more for him to learn, whether it's football, basketball, women's basketball, maybe not quite as lucrative to go into as a professional, but there's still a lot of money to be made. Whatever sport that is, once you reach a development stage where there's not a ton more that you can add to your game as a collegian, it's perfectly understandable if you decide that you want to go and play professionally. But if you also have in your mind that you're having a great time and you want to, you maybe pursue a master's degree or finish up your undergraduate or whatever, and you want to maybe, you know, you want to take a shot at a championship that you think is possible, any one of those reasons is good enough for me to come back, because it's your life. I'm not shy about criticizing somebody who isn't at all ready, like the young man Khalil Whitney, who left Kentucky. And every indication is he's now going to enter the NBA draft. I'm critical of that because I think he's wasting a huge opportunity with serious talent. That's not good. That's you're now sentencing yourself to the most difficult process possible to establish yourself as a professional, rather than an established road where people understand how to get you better. And when you enter the league and enter through the front door, it's tons more lucrative than it is to work your way up from the G League or wherever.
True. Mike DeCourcy joining us from the Sporting News, Big Ten Network, and Fox as well, here on the Tuesday edition of the Jim Class on KGYM. Big Ten basketball as a whole, it has been so much fun to watch. Some people are critical because there's not that great team. But every night, this thing is just an absolute dogfight. I guess, is it better to have that alpha dog out there that everybody nationally kind of gravitates to, or is this more fun?
What league has that great team?
Nobody this year.
The West Coast Conference, the Mountain West Conference, the Atlantic 10, those teams aren't losing. I guess to some extent, the Big 12 has it. But I will tell you the difference between those teams and someone like Michigan State. And that is that, in addition to all kinds of other complications that Michigan State's had with Joshua Langford's health and with what happened to Cassius's brother and those sorts of things, but the single biggest difference beyond those elements is that Michigan State is trying to establish, I talked before about what Louisville is doing with their team, trying to establish an identity. You know how much easier it is to try to work through establishing your identity against Boston College and Georgia Tech than it is against Iowa and Wisconsin, or Indiana on the road and then Purdue on the road, where I think they're like 12-2 or whatever. I mean, that's the difference. If Louisville were in the Big Ten, they'd have three league losses too. And they would, you know, and people would be saying no great team there. You know, I mean, that's what I one of my friends, and I'm not a big poll guy, but one of my good friends in the business dropped Michigan State out of his poll. And I'm like, really? I mean, come on. I mean, what do they need to do? Do they need to drive up to your house and hoop in your front yard? I mean, they're clearly one of the 25 best teams in the country to this point. I can't promise that it stays like that. I can't promise they're not going to get way better. But through the first 2.5 months of the season, they're obviously one of the 25 best teams in the country. I've had them seated no lower than a four, I think, in just about any bracket I've done, certainly any that I've done last 2-3 weeks. So, I think Illinois continues to ascend. Now, they've got the early season bad losses that will always be attached to them. But, you know, it's funny. I mean, Kentucky has early season worse losses. And people don't have any trouble believing that they have the ability to be special. I think the fact that the league is as hyper competitive as it is. I mean, think about this, guys. There are 14 teams in this league, and 12 of them are legitimate NCAA tournament candidates today. We've never had anything like that in a mega conference. We had it something like that when I was back in Pittsburgh and I was covering Pitt, and they played in the Big East then, and they had 9 teams in the league, and 8 of them were tournament candidates. So you basically had 14 games against teams that were trying to get into the tournament. Well, here's where the difference is. We've now got the Big Ten's playing 20 games. So the best possible schedule that you can get in that regard gives you home and road against both Nebraska and Northwestern. I don't know if anybody got that. I've never studied it. But on average, you're probably getting two of one and one of the other. So you have at least 17 games against NCAA tournament candidates and whatever you did in non-league. I mean, that's so hard to deal with, and no one's ever had to do it before. So I think that the Big Ten, the people who are watching the Big Ten, need to pay attention to the fact that these teams are going through something no one has ever gone through before.
But to that end, Mike, it seems to me that it may be more important than ever to finish in that top four and not have to play till Friday in the Big Ten tournament.
Well, it depends on what you're trying to get to, though.
Yeah.
If you feel like you need another, like for Purdue and Minnesota, I think their ideal is to win enough that they play on Thursday.
Mm.
Because with where they are now, if they fall back into that 11-14 range, then they probably won't have won enough to feel comfortable about their records. And if they get into that next range where they're somewhere, 10, 9, 8, something like that, then they'll have won enough that their records will be attractive. And then they can go out and try to get one more good quality win minimum and then take their shots in the quarters. So I think that that's probably where you want to be if you're in the heart. And I think that's probably true of Michigan at this point, although they still have the ability to change their season when Isaiah Livers comes back. I think that that's particularly true of the teams that are hunting wins now. If you are one of the other teams, like the Hawkeyes, then I think you're right, because the Hawkeyes at this point would have to really, really blunder to not get in, and I don't think that they will do that. I never call a team a lock unless it can lose all its remaining games and still make it. But they're in good shape. So for them, yeah, I mean, by all means, get in that top four, because that will help you in terms of the load you've carried, and that will assure that you're in a pretty good seed position on Selection Sunday, and then, you know, you can take your shot at winning the Big Ten tournament and climbing even higher.
Before we let you go, Mike, and great insight here as far as basketball is concerned, I wanted to ask you a bracketology question. We're for our friends just up 380 for you and I in the Missouri Valley Conference. Sitting there at 19-3, many quad one wins, about 40 as far as the net is concerned. If you and I wins 27, 28 games, loses the MVC championship game, what are their chances?
Boy, their net ranking is good. If we watched what happened last year with Belmont, and it worked out for them, I think Northern Iowa, in the scenario that you painted, will have done everything they can to be worthy. And let me tell you, I mean, the biggest issue with me doing, I do this bracket twice a week. And the biggest, the toughest thing for me every week is who are the last couple of teams. It's really hard because you to a certain level, like maybe in the eights or nines, it's really easy. Everybody, you know, it's everybody there. It looks like a tournament team. And then it's just a question of making sure you try to put them in the right spots. And then you get to the 10 line, and then it's like pretty much a tournament team. And then you get to the 11s, and it's almost a tournament team or maybe a tournament team. And then you get to the first four group, and it's like you're deciding between not really a tournament team. And one of the interesting things about that, in doing these projections, for the most part, and I don't hold to this rule fast, like it, like I had a, some people yell at me back in early December when Duquesne was by accident of, by some, obviously some success, but also by accident of having played more games than Dayton. I think they'd be like 5-1 and Dayton be 4-1. So technically Duquesne was in first place. And I wasn't putting them in my mock because I'm not like Bacon that I don't think that Dayton's going to win the A-10. There's no reason not to believe that they'll win the A-10. They're beating everybody in the league. So I would put Dayton in the field, and then I would not take Duquesne. Well, in UNI's case, I don't have any reason to believe they're not going to win the Valley. And they're never really considered in the at-large pool. I haven't even really had to think about it. But when you look at their net ranking and you look at their resume, I think it's pretty obvious they're a tournament team. I almost, the other day, put East Tennessee State in as an at-large because I had Furman in as the automatic from the Southern Conference, and I almost put ETSU in. And just at the last minute decided on another team and put them in instead. But ETSU could very easily be a tournament team. And right now they're tied for the first in the Southern Conference. I don't think Furman can be an at-large, but I think ETSU can. So I think that those two are probably the two true mid-majors that have shots at getting in. Teams from leagues where over the recent past it's been unusual for their leagues to get more than one.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, appreciate it. Great insight. We look forward to talking with you again as we get closer and closer to conference tournaments. And keep up the great work. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
All right. Mike DeCourcy, follow him on Twitter, TCN Mike. Does a great job on the Big Ten Network and also with the Sporting News as well as Fox. Take a break, come back, talk some high school wrestling with you as Wyatt Schultz from The Predicament joins us coming up right after this on KGYM.
Is one of your New Year's resolutions to remodel your home? Look no further than Alexander Lumber and Answers by Alexander. Need new doors? They can help. The same goes for hardware. Are you looking for new cabinets? They can design the new space of your dreams with beautiful, well-born cabinetry. And they have lumber, of course, but also decorative shiplap and other trim as well. If you're remodeling in 2020, consult with the designers at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Okay, you know how it feels when you've saved enough for that long-awaited home addition? Now imagine an addition on that addition. Whoa. That's the feeling with Capital One, where a new savings account earns an interest rate 5 times the national average. That's right, 5 times, as represented by 5 times more singers. This is banking reimagined. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Rate comparison based on FDIC national rate. Capital One NA, member FDIC.
There's something new in the oven at the Home Depot. Air Fry, only in the Frigidaire Gallery Air Fry Electric Range. Satisfy your family's fried food craving with a healthier, tasty cooking alternative right in your oven. It also comes with self-clean, true convection, and a very tasty price, just $798. With up to 30% off appliance special buys, it's a good time to be a doer at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only. See store for details, valid through February 26th.
Guys, when it comes to your hair and you're playing to win, Sport Clips Haircuts is just the place to do it. So when you need your A game, you know where to go.
Good hair, don't care, we got it. With the slick back, buzz cut, fade automatic. Got the shampoo popping, pompadour rocking. Baby, we're styling, always no nonsense.
To cut the wait, just check in online with our app or with your smart speaker. Then let Sport Clips Guy Smart Stylist take over. Catch some sports and walk out on top.
Get your hair in the game, Sport Clips the name.
All right, thanks to Mike DeCourcy for joining us from the Sporting News, the Big Ten Network, and from Fox Sports as well. And his latest bracketology is up for you to take a look at up there if you'd like to follow that. So we're going to go from basketball to wrestling. Wyatt Schultz, kind enough to join us here as we talk some high school wrestling as our wrestling reports during the week brought to you by Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance. Kurt, located on Johnson Avenue, northwest in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-V. And Wyatt is ready to go after conference tournaments last weekend. And that's always a lot of fun. It always means that February is around the corner and always, unfortunately, means that the end of the wrestling season's around the corner, too, isn't it?
Exactly. You know, we were kind of talking about it yesterday, and I'll kind of reference KJ's remark that coming this weekend, there's going to be a lot of kids that will put on their shoes for the last time that'll start getting beat out already. You know, the season went so fast, especially when you're missing a couple weeks in there with snow, that the season has really gone fast, at least to us. You know, we had the conference tournaments last week, but also, you know, we had some great duels on Thursday night, you know, but with your 1A schools and your 2A schools, as well as the Iowa-Penn State duel, you know, preceding the conference tournaments.
Your ears are still ringing.
Well, you know, I was just down at the Iowa press conference, and it doesn't mean much to me because I don't quite understand it, but Mike Finn was down there and mentioned the fact that he had a decibel meter, and it was 113 in there.
Wow.
So I'm guessing that's pretty loud because I was actually at the meet when Brooke Simpson pinned Eric Volker back in whenever that was. I can't remember. But that was about the loudest I had ever heard it up until Friday, and that place was just a rockin'.
Was there any talk about Austin DeSanto's injury?
It was very vague. They didn't take him on the trip to Michigan State, of course. No reason to run him along with no intent of him wrestling. And to be honest, I don't think it's serious. I think it's more precautionary.
Sure.
And it's just one of those things that Austin's never had to deal with before.
Yeah. Mm. And, well, we'll find out more as we get down the road, I think, for Iowa wrestling. For high school wrestling, you mentioned the two last Thursday night. West Delaware won the big Highway 20 battle with Independence, and then Don Bosco came down and beat Lisbon. Kind of, they juggled the lineup a little bit, helped them out, and won the duel.
Exactly, and that's where I was. I was over at Lisbon, and you know, they moved up the third ranked Easton Larson from Don Bosco. They weighed him in at 38 for the simple reason they could move him up to 45 without ruining his weight reduction program, however that works. And all their adjustments, all of Don Bosco's adjustments worked out for him. You know, then they moved Cale Ronavardi up to wrestle the number one Marshall Hawk out of Lisbon. Then Cale Frost moved up, and all their adjustments worked out well for them, and came away with a win. You know, they started off at heavyweight. Brent Maldis won that match, but then they turned around and started at 106, and that was a flip from Jaden Moore defeating Quincy Happel. And, you know, right there as a six-point swing, just on that match alone, and I think the first duel was 34-32, so already, Don Bosco is taking the taken advantage of that.
Well, Iowa City West prevailed in the Mississippi Valley Conference Tournament, but a very good meet for the metro area, finishing 2-3-4.
Exactly. You know, I think KJ had mentioned the fact last week that there could be 3, 4, 5 teams in the hunt for that title. And Iowa City West, you know, with six in the finals and 5 champions, came away with that. You know, Prairie, right behind them, had 3 finalists, but they also had the 3 champions in Kalis and Kegley and Stoner DeGroote. It was a pretty close battle. Coming down to the semifinals, we could kind of see where West was looking like the front runner about that time with their 5 champs. And that was Grant O'Dell, Hunter Garvin, Graham Gambrill, Barker, and Hoft at 82. So, it was a nice tournament.
It was, and West back on the throne after a few years off anyway. And then the momentum that West Delaware got on Thursday night went over into Saturday. They hosted the WAMAC and were really never headed up there.
Not really. They had 8 in the finals with 5 champ or 3 champ was it 3 champions, 5 runner up. You know, there and also you got to remember that Williamsburg and Independence, they're probably the third and fourth best teams in the state as well. And West Delaware just rolled. The way it looks right now, West Delaware is just kind of the elite in 2A. They're just rolling, just like Don Bosco and Lisbon are in 1A. Those two teams set themselves apart in 1A, and West Delaware does the same in 2A.
Sectionals coming up. How long before sectionals go away?
This might be the last year for sectionals.
Well, I don't know if I should say it out loud or not, but I kind of hope so. I would be in real favor of eliminating sectionals altogether, especially your 1A schools. Your 2A schools aren't too bad. They pretty much fill lineups, but I would almost be in favor of eliminating sectionals and maybe having a state duels that weekend. To me, that would be kind of interesting. You know, I get comments for and against that Wednesday of the state tournament, but like somebody had mentioned, it's still the state tournament, whether it's on that Saturday or that Wednesday of the traditional tournament.
Yeah, however you want to do it, if they're looking at maybe even, like you talked about, moving the state duels up a little bit, I think coaches would be more in favor of that. We'll have to wait and see anyway, but there's some flux as far as the high school wrestling season. Coaches got to get together with the Iowa High School Athletic Association, and they'll try to work it out in the off season.
Exactly. You know, and I know the big drawback from moving it from the Cell Center to the Wells Fargo or that Wednesday was attendance. But what they also changed when they went to the Wells Fargo was that the losing teams in that first round still got to wrestle 3 duels where they never had that opportunity at the U.S. Cell Center. And in turn, you get somebody from the western part of the state going up against, say, the number 1 seed. How many fans are going to travel to watch your team lose and go right back home? You know, it's going to take them longer to get here and more expense than maybe it's even worth.
Maybe just take 4 then. I don't know.
Well, I would be in favor of taking the 8, but just like they do now, but wrestling all 8 out, sure. All 8 places, because then all the teams will get 3 duels.
We got another number 1 versus number 2 this week. The Battle of the Burgs. Augsburg and Wartburg getting together on Thursday night for Division 3 supremacy.
Yeah, isn't that awesome? You know, and Wartburg won that last duel at the National Duels or whatever it was. And just like a lot of other Division 3 duels, you never know what's going to happen on this one. Everybody's got to be on their game. You know, Augsburg had a couple number 1 kids get beat in that first duel, And, you know, all you have to do is turn around about one or two matches and you've lost that duel. So, and I'm sure Wartburg will be ready for that duel. That'll actually be streamed. I think you can get that through the Wartburg website. So it'll be another one of those great duels in front of a full house.
I know at least one local guy hoping for a win for Wartburg at 184.
Oh, I'm sure he will be.
Wrestler of the Week, by the way, in the American Rivers
Kyle
Conference.
Briggs, yep.
Yeah, exactly. And if you had the opportunity to watch that duel with Cole the other night, Kyle actually had a great throw to pin that Edel from out of Marshalltown. So it'll be a great duel. And also on Thursday night, you have the Brenner Cup with Cornell and Cole.
Yeah, which is always going to be fun, no doubt about that. How about a set of rankings? You guys do for some rankings at the predicament?
Yes, we are. We'll do the 1 and 2As right before sectionals. They'll be coming out on Thursday, right before the tournament time. And then the 3As will come out the following week, right before their districts. But, yeah, Thursday before 5 o'clock, we'll have a new set of rankings, and we'll see how they fare up and how they match up with the sectional tournaments and see which ones your strong sectionals and districts are.
Yeah. Are you have you got it circled where you're headed Saturday?
I've kind of been asked about East Buchanan to help out with them. And, you know, with East Buchanan, Don Bosco is up there, so that automatically makes them a strong sectional. Lisbon, of course, with Lisbon over there, and that's with about 10 of those guys ranked. You know, you're going to have a strong field there as well, and then throw in some individuals out of those other teams. I haven't made up my mind. You also have the 2As with West Delaware, Independence, Williamsburg. So to be honest with you, I'm still up in the air, and I probably won't decide until Thursday night.
There you go. And maybe flipping coins up and down the line.
Yeah, exactly. Because there's especially in 2A, just because of the deeper rosters, there's a lot of that Williamsburg, you know, could be a nice balanced mix in there. West Delaware, as strong as they are, it will be a good sectional. And, you know, I'll go back to that, the WOMAC conference, you know, at 180 or 170, you had four of the top five guys in that conference. And it's a strong conference anyway, and then throw in four of the top five guys at 170 and Boss come out of that mix winning that tournament.
Yeah, a guy that got fourth in the WOMAC might do better in the state than he did in his own conference tournament. But that's happened before, and it'll happen again.
Exactly. But it sure makes it fun for the fans to see how that bracket turns out.
Indeed. All right, Wyatt, appreciate it. Have fun with the wrestling, and we will talk again in a couple weeks.
All right, sounds great. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Wyatt Schultz covers high school wrestling for the Predicament. And does a great, great job with that. 1A and 2A rankings will come out for the Predicament, and then 3A will come out next week before they get into districts. Yes, could be we could have some history of this. No one knows for sure, but this could be the final sectional wrestling weekend. And it's just a number situation, like Wyatt said. Mm-hmm. Many schools just can't fill out. You only have five or six schools at these sectionals anyway, and you don't do a lot of wrestling to kick out two or three guys. Top two go on to, I believe, districts. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, you get into a numbers situation. Take a break, come back, and wrap things up on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. So stay with us. More to come right after this.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities, or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Get a $22 Shell gift card with a Pennzoil full synthetic purchase. Ends 2/23/20. Terms apply. Details at Pennzoil.com/oil change offer.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn.
On winning teams, every player brings their unique strength that has an impact on the results. For Kevin McHale, that meant coming off the bench for the Boston Celtics. Of his almost 1,000 career games, he only started 400 of them. Yet McHale helped lead the Celtics to 3 NBA championships, played in 7 All-Star games, and was inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
You wouldn't draft a point guard to play center, right? It's the same thing as when you're going to hire your next teammate. LinkedIn will match the right talent with your open roles fast. Post a job and you'll get great candidates with the right mix of skills, interests, and experience. So every hire you make is a win for your business. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports and get $50 off your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/sports. LinkedIn.com/sports. Terms and conditions apply.
There's an app to save on flights, an app to rent a bike, and an app to help you save for driving safely. The Allstate app gives you real-time driving feedback with DriveWise, giving you the power to lower your insurance cost. In fact, safe drivers can save 40% or more. Connect and save with DriveWise. You're in good hands.
Download the Allstate app today. Savings may vary by state and driving behaviors. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Use of Allstate Mobile with activation of DriveWise required. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Scott and Mark back with you to close up shop as far as this Tuesday edition of the Gym Class is concerned. Mark Ironside stops by tomorrow. We'll look back at Iowa, Penn State, and a whole lot more. High school basketball tonight. It'll be girls basketball. Prairie hosting Xavier in a big top 10 MVC matchup tonight at 720 on 1600 and 102.3. 107.5, 106.3 FM. You will get boys basketball with Liberty hosting Kennedy coming up this evening. And both those games will get underway at about 7:20. Mark D'Antonio out at Michigan State. The big story today, Mark.
Indeed. Quick poll question at KGYMradio.com. Are you excited about the debut of the XFL this weekend? Yes or no?
Go Battlehawks. Talk to you tomorrow.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD.